from the Mercy One Studio.
Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting today from the Mercy One Studio, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. I am Joe Stopulis. And today's topic, today's subject at hand, is the season of Lent. Reflections on it from the saints, from Bishop Barron and others. Let's start in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Obviously, my shows are on Mondays, so I didn't have an opportunity to do an Ash Wednesday show. And last week's show was so good, I wanted to make sure we got it to you guys with Braden and the Harvest Academy. So I had to take a little time today, take an episode and talk about Lent. But this is a story from last Tuesday. I was talking with a person, and she was saying how, obviously right before Ash Wednesday, before Lent starting, she was just talking about how much she loves Lent, the season of Lent. And I'm like, good, me too. It's always good to hear people who love these 40 days, this season. She goes, it's one of my favorite seasons of the year. I'm like, I completely agree. It's one of those just really great times to hit the pause button and get ourselves together, all of us rowing in the same direction, to take stock of our life, slow down, and get better. And get better at doing the Lord's work, quite frankly, in our lives. So anyway, just it was energizing to hear somebody else say the words, I love Lent. Because most people, when they hear about eating less, taking on mortifications, praying more, just hunkering down, that's not an American thing. You know, trying to slow down is not a very American thing. And so I'm glad to hear other people are as excited as I am about this. So stick around. We're going to head to a short break. But when we come back, I will have Lenten reflections so we can enter more deeply into this great season.
Thank you, Construction Professionals, for underwriting Man Up. Construction Professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio, John Leonetti in the Morning, and The Maroon Moment is provided by Golden Rule Heating and Cooling. Since 1999, Golden Rule Heating and Cooling has been supporting customers with their rules to live by. Respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and service. Golden Rule Heating and Cooling is a family-run business, reminding you of the Golden Rule. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Golden Rule Heating and Cooling. GoldenRulePHC.com. Thank you, Golden Rule Heating and Cooling, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, and I want to thank Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory for underwriting Christ is the Answer. Losing a loved one, as we know, is never easy, and it can leave you feeling lost and even hopeless at times. But Caldwell Parish helps ease that burden by sincerely caring both about your loss and about your faith. Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory is Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. Their number is 515-276-0551 or online at caldwellparish.com.
My help comes from you. You're right here.
Welcome back to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. Thank you again for joining me today and doing reflections on Lent, on the season of Lent. I'm going to break out some readings, some advice from the saints, from Bishop Barron and some other sources as well. And really just want to take this time, this first Monday in Lent, to dive into the season. Obviously, officially launching last Wednesday on Ash Wednesday. Want to talk through some of the readings, and then obviously the main tenets are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We're always introduced to the season with the temptation of Jesus, which appears in three different Gospels: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We got to hear the account from Luke, which is the shortest. I want to talk us through. We'll kind of start with the temptation story, what that means to us, how we can enter into that in our own lives. You know, Jesus entered into our sinfulness as humans. He entered into the human condition and withstood the temptations of the devil, and how we can learn from him as the example. And then kind of pivot from there and say, all right, we are called to these threefold tenets of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. What do those look like? What do the saints have to say on those? What are some good reflections we have to help us enter into those three pieces, those three pillars of Lent? So I'm going to start with, I'm going to go to Luke's gospel. So as I mentioned, Matthew 4 is Matthew's account of the temptation. Luke 4 is Luke's account. And then it's in the first chapter of Mark, we get the account of the temptation again. Yesterday's was Mark's. I want to just talk about, we'll talk through the Lucan transcription here of the temptation. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Filled with the Spirit, Jesus had literally just gotten done, so right before this he's baptized. So he, immediately Jesus is filled with the Spirit, he is baptized, and then he is led into the desert, into the wilderness, where he is tempted. So we are baptized, we get filled with the Spirit, we get tempted. Same thing happens in our own lives. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. As Father John Ricardo says, it's the understatement in the Gospels. 40 days of not eating, and he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written that one does not live on bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "I will give you these in their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the desert devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for as it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Obviously a much longer version of the account we heard yesterday. So this is a reflection from Bishop Barron, and I think it does a really good job of summing up a lot of these thoughts. After his baptism, the Spirit leads Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. At every point in the Gospels, we are meant to identify with Jesus. God became man that man might become God. We participate in him and thereby learn what a godly life is like. Jesus had just learned his deepest identity and mission. Now he confronts, as we all must, the great temptations. What precisely is entailed in being the beloved Son of God? Well, first, the tempter urges him to use his divine power to satisfy bodily desires, which Jesus dismisses in one word. Very easy for Jesus to do this. This is obviously a side note. This is no longer Bishop Barron. This is Joe Stopulis talking. I mean, I struggle all the time with just that, right? The demands and desires of the body, of the flesh, which we're going to get to the fasting portion of Lent, why it's so important to be able to do that. Jesus can just dismiss it in a word. I find myself not being able to do it quite so easily. Having failed in his first attempt, the devil shifts to perhaps the greatest of temptations, power. Power is extremely seductive. Many would gladly eschew material things or attention or fame in order to get it. Jesus' great answer in Matthew's account of this story is, "Away with you, Satan." To seek power is to serve Satan, as it is stated bluntly. And finally, the devil plays a subtler game. He tempts Jesus to manipulate his father, encouraging him to jump from the temple and let the angels save him. It is the temptation faced by Adam and Eve in the garden, deciding how and when God will act. That was a good reflection by Bishop Barron. The next one I have on the temptations, again, I encourage you to go and read these slowly, meditate on them, these readings of the temptation narratives. They're all slightly different, and see how you fit into there. I mean, where are the temptations in your life that the devil has for you? What are the ways he's manipulating you, and then use Jesus' words, use his example to fight against it. So now I'm in the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, and this is from St. John Chrysostom. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read the entire thing. I like all this stuff. So first part, Scott Hahn, and then we'll get into St. John. Matthew's temptation narrative recounts Jesus' spiritual preparation for ministry. the event contrasts the disobedience of Israel with the obedience of Jesus, representative in the new Israel. First off, Jesus and Israel are both called God's son. Secondly, the temptations of both Israel and Jesus are preceded by a baptism. Third, Israel was tested for 40 years, and Jesus was tempted for 40 days and for 40 nights. Fourth, Israel failed its wilderness testing while Jesus triumphs over Satan through obedience and self-abasement. These parallels are supported by Jesus' three responses that he gives to the devil, taken from the text of Deuteronomy. These texts warned the Israelites against the disobedience and reminded them of God's providence in the wilderness. And then morally, as St. John Chrysostom said, Jesus' victory sets an example for the Christian obedience. The earthly life is a wilderness trial for God's people en route to the land of heaven. Through this probationary period, God wills the faithful to overcome temptations from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Triumph is possible through penance and obedience to God's word. Rather than earthly bread and power, the faithful must desire the food of God's will and the humility of Christ. The battle successfully won merits heavenly comfort and the comfort of angels. The church annually reminds us of this lifelong vocation, specifically during the 40 days of Lent. And then the last reflection I have on the temptation narratives comes from St. Ambrose. Christ goes into the wilderness to rescue man from his exile in sin. Since Adam's expulsion from Eden, man has languished in the desert of spiritual death, cut off from paradise. Christ pursues man in the desert to wrest him from the grip of the devil. Why did Jesus go into the desert? Well, he did it to rescue us. I think they parallel from Adam being exiled into the desert, and then Christ going out into the desert to save us. I think these are wonderful parallels, wonderful things to dwell on. And again, I think as we think about Jesus experiencing these temptations, what can we learn from that? I think these are things to think about. Hopefully, as we're entering into Lent, we are going to practice the threefold pillars of Lent: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. On the side of prayer, we'll start with prayer. I'm always encouraging myself, my friends, my listeners, whomever else, to enter more deeply into prayer. And I know for myself what that means right now, and I'll get into that in a second. But if today you're at 0 minutes a day, find 10, 15, 20 minutes a day. Try to find time. And when I say try, I mean you find it. You schedule it out and you find it. I would highly recommend at least 30 minutes a day of quiet prayer with the Lord. And I was telling someone about this last week about how, in preparation for Ash Wednesday, how much I love the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith because of all the different modes of prayer that are taught within the confines of the church. It's whether it's Lectio Divina, whether it's the Rosary, whether it's just quiet contemplative prayer, whether it's the reading of Scripture in a different way, whether it's spiritual readings, whatever it is, there's this vast array of resources and ways we have to communicate with the Lord. And there's just no one size fits all. There isn't. What works for me might not work for you, which works for you might not work for my friend on the street. It's all different, and that's fine. We're all created differently. We all respond differently. But what has to remain the same is that time. Is the time that we spend. That's what happens within the time can vary between person to person, but what has to be done is making the effort to make the time happen. So some suggestions, again, might be the Liturgy of the Hours. I've gotten in this year, my mother-in-law got me the Liturgy of the Hours book, Christian Prayer, and so I've been praying morning prayer. Most mornings I've been doing morning prayer, and then recently, in the last couple of weeks, and specifically for Lent, I'm big on it, which is the night prayer right before bed. So I'm doing morning prayer and night prayer along with the examination of conscience. So that's what I'm adding into mine is the examination of conscience and the night prayer, kind of stepping up my prayer game a bit at night. But so Liturgy of the Hours is one thing you could do. You could do, again, take one of the Gospels. Just start right at Matthew and just read through it slowly. As I've said many times, reading the Gospels is like reading a fine wine, just the Scriptures in general, that you chew on it, you wrestle with it, you soak in it. You don't just speed through it and chug it and go to the next thing. And so a friend of mine was telling me the other day that he just reads, you know, scripture, and he used to read through it with kind of a goal in mind of here's how much I want to read. And he's had to stop doing that and say, you know what, if a passage, or just whether it's one verse, one word, one paragraph speaks to him, he'll stop and go back and read through it and dwell on that piece until the Lord is, until he's soaked in whatever that thing is, whatever that one line or paragraph is, he'll soak in that and then move on to the next thing. I think that's really healthy. That's really good. I would just encourage you, as you're first and foremost, find that 30 minutes, whether it's at night, whether it's in the morning, find the 30 minutes, get it scheduled, and then find out what works for you. Talk with friends, talk with mentors, find a spiritual director, Google search how to pray, Catholic, whatever you want to do. But it's very important that we spend that time with the Lord, that we waste time with the Lord in prayer. On fasting, so now we're getting into the second piece of Lent, which is fasting. This is, you know, Friday's gospel. Oh, another thing for prayer. There's another one for, good one for prayer. Just read the gospel. The readings every day are awesome during Lent. They all build up towards Easter. So the beginning part is a lot about the laying the groundwork for Lent and why we're doing it, and then it kind of builds up towards the culmination of Easter. So just spending time with the readings every day could help. You could do 30 minutes on just slowly, reflectively doing the readings every day. So maybe another thing for you. So this is actually from last Friday. It was the gospel on why do the Pharisees fast, and this is from Bishop Barron's Lenten Gospel Reflections. Why do we fast? Because we have a hunger for God, which is the deepest hunger. We're meant to get access to that hunger. We're meant to feel it so that it can direct us towards God. Every spiritual master recognizes the danger that if we allow superficial hunger of our lives to dominate, we will never reach the deepest hunger. Thomas Merton once observed that our desires for food and drink are something like little children in their persistence and their tendency to dominate. Unless and until they are disciplined, they will skew the functions of the soul according to their purposes. Fasting is a way of disciplining the hunger for food and drink. It is a way of quieting those desires by not responding to them immediately so that the deepest desires can emerge. Unless you fast, you might never realize how hungry you are for God. Really well put. The more we allow the bodily callings, I mean, the demands of the body, which we all have, right? I mean, we all have these yearnings for food. We need to stay alive, right? We need to food, drink. These are things that, and they're good in themselves. I mean, I've heard people say, well, why would you not do something? You know, so these things are good. God has made whatever these things are good. And that's not to say they're not. But what is of higher value is having control over your passions, control over your ability, not letting other things control you. As soon as something's controlling you, you become a slave to it. And so fasting allows us to make room for God while controlling ourselves. Go back to the last 2 weeks' episodes, right? So I had on, we had, you know, Braden last week, and before that, we had Brian on, both talking about addictions, how they lost control. Those are extreme examples. Clearly, I understand that. They're extreme examples. But fasting allows us to be in control of ourselves. It allows us to be in the driver's seat against our emotions and the things that are pulling at us in this life. So what are you doing to fast? Obviously, Ash Wednesday already happened. You know, we've passed that. Doesn't mean that I want to make sure that we're all on board doing some level of fasting as we're reflecting on this now. Maybe, you know, changes. Maybe the first few days here hasn't been great. Maybe you have room to do more. Maybe you've got to adjust it. Whatever that is, make sure you're thinking about it, being prayerful in doing it. Make sure you're praying on these things. I should have had this episode a few weeks ago. I really think people need to pray in advance for the season of Lent to make sure that they're clear as to what the Lord wants them to do. But that aside, this is why we're fasting, right? So there's a reason we do it. There's a reason we've done it for millennia. And why it's been such an important practice in the church, and something I hope that we can get back to more regularly throughout the year. Finding ourselves, when you think of the four virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, I mean, that last one, temperance, being able to moderate desire, is very, very important in the spiritual life. The last one I want to get to is on almsgiving. I'm going to take another. This is back to the Lenten Reflections from Bishop Barron. And this is just from the first, this is actually from the Ash Wednesday. So if you remember on Ash Wednesday, Jesus was talking about the hypocrites who blow their trumpets in the synagogues. Today's gospel prescribes the discipline of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And I want to speak to you about the biblical principle behind almsgiving. I know I've quoted to you in the past some of the breathtaking remarks of the saints and the popes. For example, Pope Leo XIII said, "Once the demands of necessity and propriety have been met, the rest of your money belongs to the poor." St. John Chrysostom said, and St. Ambrose echoed him, "For the man who has two shirts in his closet, one belongs to him, the other belongs to the man who has no shirt." These ideas, of course, are rooted in the biblical prophets who continually rail against those who are indifferent to the poor. Compassion is key to the Christian ethic, learning to suffer with and feel with the other. We're not dealing in an abstract Aristotelian moral philosophy, but rather with something more visceral. This is precisely why the two great commandments are so tightly linked. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. In loving God, you feel the feelings of God, and God is compassionate to the poor and the oppressed. And that's all the argument that a biblical person needs. Again, the season of Lent, forcing us to look at almsgiving in our life. Are we being charitable with what we've been given? I think, and this goes the same way with fasting as well. Actually, this conversation today, apparently you guys must think I just talk about fasting all day long, every day. But I had a conversation on fasting today, and it was in regards to how we, living in America in 2021, need to fast because we've never experienced hunger. Real hunger. I mean, as Solzhenitsyn said, how can a man who's warm know what it's like to be cold? When you're living in the gulag and you experience true cold and true hunger, we in America, living in Iowa or wherever you live, it's just really hard to understand what true hunger is. Similarly, we don't understand what true poverty is most of the time because we haven't had to experience it. We just never had to deal with it. And so when you think of almsgiving, taking a step out and saying, look at how blessed we are. Where can I give more? Give until it hurts. Where can I find people? Where can I reach out to give more of myself? And again, I hope that the practices we're putting in place during these 40 days of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving don't just go back and revert to the mean. I hope that, knock on wood, I hope that I keep doing night prayer and examination of conscience after this. I put away my phone out of the room as well, so I did that too. These are things that I hope I continue to do afterwards, right? I have intentions of doing that. I hope that what we're going to do, my wife and I, for almsgiving, that whatever we take up, that's not something we just do once and give away and turn back to ourselves. These are hopefully habits that we're building. So take account of that. You know, we've all been blessed. We all have more than two shirts, right? We all have more than two shirts. Where are we being called to give? And I'll sum it up with this: all comes back to prayer. You'll know where God's calling you to give alms. You'll know where you're supposed to be fasting when you're rooting it in prayer, when you're going to God for 30 minutes in the morning in quiet and asking Him in prayer where to help you. So with that, hope everyone has a great Lent. Hope you're off to a good start. And I just pray that you and I and all of us continue to grow closer to God every day through this holy season. We will head to a short break, and we'll be right back.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Storm Alert Weather is provided by Divine Treasures. Divine Treasures is a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. Their mission is to help Catholics know, love, and keep their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. Divine Treasures is where you can find great Catholic books, beautiful Bibles, rosaries, jewelry, statues, and religious gifts for those memorable events in your life. Divine Treasures, 5701 Hickman Road, Des Moines, 515-255-5230. Thank you to Divine Treasures for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Since 1924, St. Vincent de Paul has been helping those less fortunate work towards self-sufficiency. Last year, St. Vincent de Paul helped over 20,000 individuals with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. SVDPDSM.org, 515-282-8327. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. This message was brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
My health.
Welcome back to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. Thanks for sticking with me on these reflections on the season of Lent. I do, you might not believe it, but I actually do try to avoid reading. I know I end up doing it quite a bit, but I don't want to parse words. I mean, listen, Bishop Barron, St. Ambrose, these people are writing the words. I do not want to take the jurisdiction to change their words, to put words in their mouth, to alter it in any way, shape, or form, especially when it comes to the Gospels. I really don't want to take Luke out of context. So thanks for sticking with me. As you can tell, I think that it merits an entire conversation to reflect on these things. And I want to make sure that we're doing it, that we're not just going through the motions, that we're truly thinking about it. There's a reason that in this year that I am adding in addition to the Exodus 90 stuff, I'm adding in the night prayer from the Liturgy of the Hours, along with the examination of conscience. I think I need more reflection in my life. I just felt like, sometimes I go through the motions as well. You know, in the morning I do my prayer, but I don't do a good enough job at the end of my day to look at the game film, to see how I've done and to look forward. There are periods in my life when I've done a very good job of this, but listen, I noticed that I wasn't doing it. So time to man up. And I talked to my men's group, talked to a few other people, and that was clearly what the direction that I needed to go. And so I just encourage you to do the same thing, right? So whatever that means in your own life, wherever you're seeing, you take inventory, see where it is that the Lord's asking you to spend more time or spend less time doing something else in order to make more fertile ground in prayer and more clearly hear the voice of the Lord in your life. Thanks for joining me today on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis. It's time to man up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.